Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
All I know, Jake, is it's nice to share this space with somebody who would actually invite me to their cookout.
I could already feel the hostility right out of the gate. I could feel an apparently sick Nick Wilson. Hopefully Nick, you know, feels better within the next couple of days. I could feel the hostility out of the gate.
It wouldn't be the first time that somebody at the station like faked an injury, or not an injury, but that's more so something that a Browns player might do. But faked an illness to get out of coming to work. I mean, we've people pulled that card before. I think everyone's kind of pulled that card, whether it's here or not.
Yeah, I'm sure everybody has.
Not accusing Nick of doing that today. I'm just saying, you know, sometimes these illnesses pop up out of the blue, and then I'm getting called about coming to fill and host, which I don't mind. It's cool. I'll Wally Pip Nick for a couple days. It's fine.
No. Nick's definitely. Hey, someone who is as excited about the Guardians as Nick was, there's no way he was. This is not the day he was going to miss
out. That's true. That is the bulletproof argument for why Nick Wilson is not faking being sick today. Because this is the type of day where he would want to be here gloating and basking in the glory of the Guardians making the playoffs. Not only making the playoffs, winning the division after being down 15 and a half games earlier this summer. Now, he maybe didn't want to talk so much Browns today, but you can overlook that because the Guardians pulled off what they pulled off. You know, I was in Detroit for the Browns game yesterday, and I saw like the graphic that they tweeted where it was like 15 and a half games back, biggest comeback in MLB history. And I think that was kind of the moment, like we've been talking about this, but I think that was the moment where I realized like how incredible what the Guardians pulled off really was. And I know it takes two to tango. I've been arguing that I think it's, in retrospect, it is kind of more about the Tigers choking, but because the Tigers still made the playoffs, I actually think we can shift the focus now to the fact that the Guardians pulled this off. If the Tigers had missed the playoffs, that would have been the only thing that mattered. Was this team was 15 and a half games up, had a stranglehold on the division. They were the best team in baseball for a while. And then they go from that to not even making the playoffs. That would have been embarrassing. I was honestly rooting for it. But instead, we get to celebrate what was honestly one of the most historic and probably coolest moments in Guardians franchise history. And I think that fans will recognize that for years to come, obviously.
And even going up against, you know, I kept referring to them going into this week, or into this series, I should say, into this weekend, is the ghost of the Texas Rangers, because they'd shut everybody down that was actually worth anything. It was the ghost of the Texas Rangers. Even the way they pulled that off, right? In the
that was wild.
The most emblematic fashion to lock in a playoff spot of Guardians hit by pitch to be able to pop the champagne in the locker room. And then
Which was the most Guardians way, with the way the offense has been this year, to win a game, by the way. Like, get a playoff berth on that. Yeah. So Guardians.
Like I said, it was emblematic of their entire season, of everything they've done this year. And even like yesterday, and the division was already locked up. Detroit had lost the game in Boston. Yeah. They were celebrating like the seventh inning in the dugout. To still go through and fight and then end things the way they did, as you heard in the open, with the Brian Rocchio three-run shot off the pole, it was like, it kind of just symbolized the entire, again, like it was emblematic of the Guardians, the way that they clinched the actual playoff spot. But for the division, it was emblematic of the comeback. It was emblematic of their entire last month of being, like, this team just finds a way right now. Like, even when they don't need to win the game, even when it doesn't matter, they still go out and fight for the last win of their season.
Yeah, listen, it was, you're right about it being emblematic. It was funny. I was on the field post game doing like some the podcast stuff that I do post game for Browns, whatever. And like I kind of forgot I was in Detroit for a little bit because I was just like in the zone working what I had to do. And as the Red Sox beat the Tigers, they're like the local media is all like reacting like, oh, okay, so I guess that means we're going to Cleveland, blah, 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 blah. And then they saw that happen. And this one guy, he like sort of made eye contact with me earlier when the Red Sox had won. And he like looks over and he's like showing me his phone from a distance, like almost like pointing at it. Like, did you see what just happened? And as I was doing my podcast, I had like the box, like the game cast up so I could see what was happening. And I was like, even in real time, like blown away that after going down 8-5, they somehow then scored four runs of their own to win the game 9-8. Like, what the hell is that?
Again, Brian Rocchio, of all people, too, right? Like, of the guy to exclamation point.
Did somebody
point
in the locker room yell, like, playoff Rocchio or something like that after the game?
I'm sure they did, and rightfully so, because regular season Rocchio has not been great, Brian Rocchio. The only playoff Brian Rocchio we know has been electric, at least at the
point. It's like the Drake meme where he's like, regular season Brian Rocchio, no. Playoff Brian Rocchio, yes, we want talking. Him. And hopefully he can show up in the playoffs. Now, I think the interesting question in all this is, does how this run gets remembered, and we can obviously come back to this later in the show as well, because I know we have Browns quarterback conversations to have. Kevin Stefanski spoke a little over an hour ago and was noncommittal on Joe Flacco, but also I don't know that he said anything different than he's already said, so we'll get into that here in a second. But does how this season went and how it ended, the run that they went on, how historic this moment was, does that just get lost like in the wash of another Guardian season if they say lose to the Tigers this week in the wild card round, or you know, don't go back to the ALCS like they were a year ago and everything that came with that, the criticisms of like not making the roster better and actually chasing it? How will you remember this moment? And is it dependent on what they do in the playoffs from here?
See, I thought this was interesting because even Nick and I last week were sort of like tossing this idea around, and he was on the idea of like the playoffs are just gravy, right? Like this is an addition to everything. Like you should already be satisfied with the season. I think I'll get to that point. I think it might take a week or two. I think I'll be able to look back and go, okay, that was a historic run. They should have never been in the playoffs in the first place, and be able to reflect on that. In the moment, though, like this is gravy. Like I need you to go out and win this series against the Tigers. In my eyes, which we'll talk about, you probably should go out in this series and beat the Tigers. But it's like, yeah, you're also kind of lucky just to be here. Like, this season can be symbolized by the regular season, and that'd be okay.
So I'm trying to find the balance between recognizing how historic this is and feeling like it can be its own independent thing that gets celebrated the way that the Guardians are celebrating on Saturday and Sunday, and that the city should be happy and appreciative and love that they got here, while also understanding that the point you just made of like, yeah, the playoffs are gravy is to me like the most drinking the Kool-Aid thing that a Guardians fan can say. Because the Guardians want you to feel like the playoffs are gravy almost every year because of how they construct this team. All they want is to get in the playoffs. And if they hear people saying things like, hey, we got there, the playoffs are gravy, they know that they're doing a good job, and that doesn't actually sell them on making the team better, doing what they need to do to then take the team over the top. And they might not do that even if they don't make the playoffs. I understand that. But I just think like, and I had, this was kind of the part of the, I remember a couple weeks ago, I on my Saturday show, responded to Ken, who was saying that if the Guardians make the playoffs, it's more of an argument for them to invest in the team. And while that normally would be the case, we just saw that happen last year and they didn't invest in the team. So my take was, it's actually better if they miss the playoffs because the theme of this team has forever been, just get in and see what happens. That's their strategy to win the World Series most years, except for obviously 2016, 17, where they actually did try to invest in the team. And so I just think like, if we fall back on, well, hey, we're just happy to be here, that's exactly what the Guardians want you to say. That's exactly how they want you to feel about this season. And then they know, hey, if we don't invest in the team, it's okay. We'll be right back next year because we have figured out how to win in the margins because we are the Cleveland Guardians.
I'll have such a... We're going to obviously talk Guardians as the show goes on. I have such a pushback for you on this that's not even like... Oh. I have a major pushback to that exact
we
statement.
We got some spice to start the show.
Oh, I have a major, major pushback on that.
All right. Well, we'll hear what Jake has to say on that because we will get back to the Guardians here in a minute. And by the way, Twitter reactions brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, or social media reactions brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. I want to say the exact wording. I don't want to get us in trouble with any sponsors. I just saw this tweet come in. Ross Al, I don't even know. I don't want to say the name and then have it be something inappropriate. So he says, sounds like someone's got a chance or a case of the old brown bottle flu. We have a theory as to why Nick Wilson isn't here today. Maybe he was also celebrating.
Celebrating a little bit too
hard there. So maybe he was so excited about coming in and talking Guardians that he got a little too carried away at home, and that's why he's not here. Anyway, we'll go from a team that we should all be celebrating to a team that doesn't deserve a lot of celebrating right now in the form of the Cleveland Browns, because the topic du jour of the day, Jake, and I do think if this wasn't happening in real time, we probably would spend most of this first hour just straight up talking Guardians. But because it's a quarterback conversation and because it's a quarterback controversy, I think we would be remiss if we didn't at least get to this here early on in the show. And so Kevin Stefanski spoke to the media today and about an hour ago on his annual Monday Zoom press conference and was asked on three different occasions. I know because I was in the Zoom. Are you sticking with Joe Flacco? What's your plan at quarterback, essentially? And this is the first answer that he gave when he was asked about Joe Flacco.
Hey, Kevin, just following up on yesterday. Are you sticking with Joe?
Yeah, I understand the question, Scott. We have to play better as an offense. We have to coach better on offense. It's not about one person. There are so many things that we need to do better, and obviously quarterback included, but this is not about one person.
Is that a yes then? I mean, are you sticking with him?
Yeah, that my focus is on making sure this offense plays better.
First of all, I love Scott just being like, so
Was that a yes then? The correct proper response, by the way, because he went, yeah, I understand the question, but here's something that has nothing to do with the quarterback. And he goes, so was that like a, did I get an answer there? Like, did I miss something?
The number of times that my wife has like said something to me and I've just kind of grumbled like, yeah. And she's like, so is that a yes then? Like, I've heard that question before. I know that question. And Kevin Stefanski's answer was not very adequate in giving us a sense of where he's at with the quarterback situation, but also very non-committal, which is the thing everyone's reading into. There was also a third time that he was asked about Joe Flacco, and here's what he said the third time.
Kevin, your answer about Flacco, should we assume that a change is possible and you're just not willing to address it at this time?
Yeah, I just would tell you, I understand the question, and I understand the scrutiny that comes with the position, but we have to play better as an offense. We have to do a better job at all positions, including coaching. That's really what I want to get across.
We know Kevin Stefanski says nothing. How are you reading into or trying to decipher what he's trying to say without saying it with his answer to this question? Do you think a quarterback change is coming?
I have to say yes. Like, we go back to last week, and I get it. You got the win. You're much less likely to make a quarterback change after picking up a win. Kevin didn't hesitate last week. Kevin literally went, after the game, Joe's our starter, asked again on Monday, Joe's our starter this week, no questions asked. He's going to be in the game against the Lions. This is the complete opposite. It's, oh, you asked me a question about the quarterback? I have nothing for you. We have to get better at coaching. We have to get better as an offense. We have to do everything else. He literally avoided talking quarterback as much as possible. He avoided saying the word quarterback in that sentence. Like, that to me is, when I compare the two, an indication that you're looking to make a change, at least considering it.
So this was Flacco, or this was Kevin Stefanski last week when asked about the potential quarterback switch. A very short clip here, but this is what he said last week.
Even though it was a tough game for Joe in the offense, you're sticking with Joe going forward.
Yes.
So to your point, he was a lot more committal. But I do feel like I recall after the Ravens game, he was asked about it at the Ravens game, and it was a similar answer to what he said today, or I guess what he said after the game yesterday. And then the follow-up that Monday at the Zoom press conference was very similar, and like, hey, so are you sticking with Joe? And it was a very similar answer of like, that's not where my focus is. The common theme from all of his answers when it comes to the quarterback situation has been, that's not where my focus is, that's not where our focus is. And so I look for something that's different when he, to sort of decide if he's hinting at a change or not hinting at a change. And I understand what it looks like. I understand with him not committing to Flacco the way he did so adamantly last week, you can assume that it's at least on the table or it's being discussed or whatever. I just don't think that they're going to make a change this week specifically. And I will explain why coming up, because there are certain, I understand, like, there's never perfect circumstances to maybe start a guy, but I think there's one specific circumstance about this week that is the biggest deterrent in trying to put a rookie out there too soon. And I have some thoughts on like what he's trying to say when he talks about like the offense being better and what he's trying to, I think, deflect from. So, but it sounds like we feel differently about this because you think it could happen this week, like Wednesday, like he might announce it on Wednesday.
Yeah. And I think it, to the point of that, like even going into the Packers game week 3, we got that report Sunday morning, multiple reports saying that Kevin and Tommy Rees actually did deliberate a quarterback change after the Ravens game. Now, we haven't had those validated. We don't know that for a fact, but there were reports floating out there that they did debate it, and that was the non-committal answer once again, right?
Yeah, yeah. 216-474-1092, do you think the Browns are poised to make a quarterback change this week, maybe as soon as Wednesday when Kevin Stefanski next talks to us in the media? I say no. Jake says yes. We'll continue talking about why we feel on our respective sides. Coming up here, it's Afternoon Drive. Spencer German filling in for Nick Wilson and Jake Volnick alongside filling in for JP. Keep it locked. We'll be back in 5 minutes on The Fan. Kevin Stefanski speaking to the media today via his Zoom press conference and was very much non-committal to Joe Flacco. It was a different tune from last week after the win over the Packers where he said yes. Adamantly when asked if he's sticking with Joe Flacco. I do recall, though, 2 weeks before, after the Ravens game, leading into the Packers game, he kind of gave a similar answer where he was like, that's not my focus right now. And then he was asked about it again on Wednesday, and he was like, that's not my focus right now. And I heard the elements of that phrase uttered today in the audio that we played in the first segment for you.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen and Anthony Lima. Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show. Your way and on your time.
Here's the thing. And I want to be clear here. It's not that I don't think a quarterback change needs to happen at some point. It's not that I don't think it's worth giving it a shot. I mean, I was somebody banging the drum for these rookies should start week one, theoretically. But I knew the team wasn't going to just throw in the towel on the season and say, oh, well, that's it. That soon. So they went with Flacco. Okay, fine. I've been hearing some of the takes on, like, I think they ultimately wanted Kenny Pickett to be their starter. And then because he got hurt, they had to pivot to Flacco. And then the trade value was there to get the fifth round pick back that they lost for him and all that. So they just did it. And that's kind of unfortunate how that all played out because they needed to have their quarterback situation settled. And so it ended up being Flacco. So maybe they didn't necessarily want Flacco to start the season anyway. I get all that. Fine. But once you committed to Flacco and that was the decision, I think we understood why that was the decision. It was like, okay, six games of the season, they're tough. You're trying to get off to a good start. You're trying to sell the locker room on like, hey, we're trying to win football games. And after training camp, there was an argument to be made that like Flacco did give you the best chance to win. I mean, he was really good in training camp, especially at the tail end. Those joint practices with the Eagles, he was brilliant. So it's not that I don't think a quarterback change is coming. I think we've all known that that was going to be the case. We knew Flacco wasn't going to play all 17 games. The reason I don't think it's going to happen this week, though, centers mostly around the fact that it's the circumstances of the game. You're going to London. You are flying halfway across the world to go play this game. And I just think, now maybe the Browns don't care about that because they didn't set DTR up for a lot of success the first time he started either, telling him the day of that he was going to start. But I just think Kevin Stefanski's preached throughout training camp and all that, that they're taking these guys' development very seriously. And clearly they've been trying to be patient with them to as much as they can be and responsible about it. It doesn't feel very responsible to me for a guy who's still in what? This is his fifth game that he's ever prepared for in his life as an NFL quarterback. And he's still kind of getting used to just like how the week kind of goes. And now in 2 days, you're going to pack everything up and fly him across the globe. And his body clock's going to be all off. And the practice schedule is going to be all thrown off. And you're going to say, hey, go out there and win us a football game. I also think the Vikings are a game that the Browns can win, potentially with Flacco even at quarterback, because their offensive line is a disaster right now. You think the Browns' offensive line is bad? The Vikings' offensive line might be worse. And this is a game where like the defensive line could almost single-handedly like win you the game, and maybe Flacco ekes it out because he does just enough on offense. So I just don't know as much as I understand a quarterback change is coming and a quarterback change is imminent and a quarterback change is probably necessary in the near, the very, very near future, I just don't know if this week makes the most sense for it to be the week that it happens.
But at what point do you, yes, you prioritize the development of the young players. I'm not saying to like throw that away, but at what point do you also prioritize the ability for the team to win? Because you just laid it out. Like, well, Vikings offensive line's a mess. The defense can basically single-handedly win you with that. We've been banking on the defense to basically single-handedly win his games for the first 4 weeks while Joe's looked like garbage. Like, I mean, respectfully, hasn't looked good in a single game that he's played. Week one, is okay. But like, the last 3 weeks have been disastrous. At what point does the sell of the locker room stop being, oh, well, we have 40-year-old Joe and Joe's a veteran and Joe's done this before. And all of these guys, a lot of them younger, sitting there looking at it going, old man doesn't have it. Like, they're continuously rolling out the guy. Sure, he's had success in the NFL. Probably would be a really good coach right about now. But he does not have it when he's throwing the football. Because there's multiple plays, even in that Lions game, where, yes, Joe did not get great protection. Obviously, there were guys dropping footballs. But, like, there were times where I'm watching Joe sit there, pump fake, try to move around, not do enough, not get rid of the ball quickly. It's the same things we've been talking about week to week. I mean, the conversation on the Browns, somehow going even after a win into a loss, has become stale because it's, well, the defense did their part, right? Defense showed up today. Offense crumbles once again. Like, at what point does just throwing Dylan Gabriel out there into the game actually make more sense for your chance to win? And like, you want to talk about prepared. Like, Dylan's played more college games than any college quarterback in the history of the game.
That's fair.
So from a football perspective, he should be prepared. They say he has computer-like processing power. Everything that he needs to, quote-unquote, protect himself in this offense, as good as it's going to get. Like, Dylan should be the guy prepared to do that.
I'm glad you brought up the point on the locker room and selling them on winning, because I do think that has to be it. I think ultimately for Kevin Stefanski, that's at the heart of like every decision he makes. Until the season gets to a, like, you're not even close to mathematically eliminated at 1-3. Like, you could win next week and then be 2-3, and all of a sudden it's like, hey, yeah, we'll talk ourselves into getting to 3-3 against the Steelers next week. Like, so of course, like, I think he makes these decisions with the thought process of what's best for the team right now to win football games. I don't think coaches think, maybe some do, I don't think Kevin Stefanski thinks about tanking and all that. So yes, at some point, I'm sure the decision would just straight up be, time to see what the rookies can do. I don't think that's now. It would be about winning if he makes that decision, yes. But I'm glad you brought that up, because that's where I think Kevin introducing this week in his answer about the quarterback change, you heard it, we all heard it, him saying the line about, my focus is on getting this offense to play better football. And how he continues to say, which he said yesterday after the game, and he said it again today, it's never about one person. Him saying those two things, I think, is his qualifier, that he understands that it's not just Joe Flacco's fault, that the locker room understands that it's not just Joe Flacco's fault. And people like Joel Bitonio, who talk after games all the time, they give credence to that as well, because they sit there and say, like, yeah, you know, we're just not getting it done up front. We're just not blocking very well. And I think so to me, you're asking, like, at what point does he have to do his best for the locker room? At what point does the locker room understand, like, Flacco just doesn't have it? I think right now the locker room's looking and saying, well, we're all playing like crap. I mean, Jerry Jeudy went on a profanity-laced tirade yesterday about how he needs to catch that ball on 3rd and 7, and that actually ended up changing the game, because after that, it's the punt return, and then you're down 3 scores, and you knew the game was over at that point. Like, so I think the receivers know they've been bad. The offensive line knows it's been bad. Everyone across the board pretty much knows they've been bad. So it's hard for, I think, that locker room to turn around and be like, what the hell is this guy doing? He can't move in the pocket right now, which is why I think Kevin Stefanski added that to his answer today and yesterday. And I know that people are going to read into those things. And yes, he was non-committal. Last week, he was very committal. Like you said, after a win, it's easy to do that. But I still just think that cooler heads prevail here in the idea of, like, hey, we're going across the pond. It doesn't make sense to start Dylan Gabriel this week. But my feeling is this is it for Flacco. Like, this is the last straw. Even if they go over there and they win, if the offense still looks inept, I think all bets are off when you come back. Even understanding it's Pittsburgh in Pittsburgh after that in week 6, you got to throw your best laid plans out the window at that point and understand, like, this might be the time now to start this quarterback. He'll have a normal week. We'll get back. We'll get him ready. And then we'll be off and running to Pittsburgh, even though we don't win there very often. I think that's more so the thought process that needs to happen here. And to your point, too, like, you want to talk about everyone keeps bringing up the point that Dylan Gabriel will be more mobile in the pocket. Yes, 100% true. But how often is that really equated to like a rookie just like taking off and soaring behind this offensive line? Like, look what's happening to CJ Stroud. People are worried that the Texans are ruined, and they just traded another offensive lineman away, by the way. They're worried that CJ Stroud is going to get ruined because he has a terrible offensive line in front of him. So I don't know that it's just as easy as like, well, hey, he can move around, so he'll get away from those guys that are bearing down on him. It could also do the have the opposite effect, and he could just absolutely be awful because he has no time to throw the football, and he's panicked because he's a rookie and he's in the pocket.
Yeah, but I think that there's so many more things that you can do with even a slightly mobile quarterback, right? I can actually move the pocket, like, entirely. Like, the design of the play with Dylan Gabriel being the height that he's at, I can move the pocket, which, if I need to move it away from the guy who's terrorizing my right or my left tackle, I can do that. Like, if we go into Pittsburgh and I'm playing TJ Watt, I go, TJ Watt's going to be coming off the right side. Why don't we just move the pocket to the left? Force TJ to run as far as he has to, give Dylan as much time as possible to actually get rid of the football. Can't do that with Joe Flacco. You try to move the pocket to the left. Joe's going to get caught. Joe might stumble over his own feet. He might have to have the walker out there in front of him to stay upright at that point. But, like, I hate the idea of waiting for the perfect moment. Like, there is no sense to me because every single time you go through a football season, there will never be a perfect moment for Dylan Gabriel.
Well, and I hear you on that point, and you're largely right. Like, it's never going to be the perfect situation to put a rookie out there in most cases. My argument for this week, though, is like, this is something that you kind of can control. Like, next week, like, if it was a normal week, it'd be different. It's like, okay, so what if the Vikings are on the schedule and they have a really good defense or whatever, and they're coming into your build? Like, you can make up all sorts of reasons why it's not a perfect scenario for any team, but this is one that's like extremely different than like, you get what I'm saying?
Yeah, no,
like,
I see it.
This is a completely different thing than like a normal week of NFL football. And I just don't know if it makes sense.
The other side of it is like, okay, so you went to London. Now you have to come back from London. Everyone's going to be jet lagged once again. So as much as it's a normal week, it's really not a normal week.
Well, but it will be by the time they get back, though, because they'll start practice on Wednesday, and by then you have like 2 days to kind of get yourself back on your body clock, and then it's like Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, you can prepare him for a game against the Steelers. That's all.
And then you're on the road against the Steelers, a great defense where you typically don't win, and then you come back the next week. Who knows what the health of the offensive line with? We don't have Cedric Tillman right now.
Well, actually, the next week after that's like the best week to start Dylan Gabriel, in my opinion, because the Dolphins are awful, and they might not have a coach by then. So who even knows?
Yeah, but again, that's what I'm saying. Though. There's circumstances. Like, maybe you lose, but knock on wood, hopefully this isn't a thing, but like, maybe you lose Joe Batonio that game, and then your left side just completely made up, and it's like, now I have
bad omens on Joe Batonio. No, come on, man. He came back to try to win this season.
Would you feel better if I said Wyatt Teller? Would you feel better if I said Ethan?
No, that's mean. I'm not going to do that. That's mean.
It doesn't make you feel any better, really, if you lose any of the interior guys. But I'm just saying, like, you could be down another two offensive linemen. It's like, well, we can't put Dylan in. You can always find an excuse, or you're not going to have Cedric Tillman, and maybe, you've been trying to play Gage Larvidan and fill the role, or Jamari Thrash, and he's looked horrible up to this point. Like, you can always make an excuse. I'm sick of waiting for the perfect moment.
Yeah.
Like, if you feel Dylan Gabriel is ready and you made him the backup quarterback, that to me is at least some sort of signifier that you feel that he's ready if he has to step into a football game. They've played him twice in an NFL game already. You feel like he's ready to operate. It's like, you don't have to find the perfect moment. None of these quarterbacks step in and typically light the world on fire week one and just keep that lighting the world on fire for the rest of the season. They're going to have bad weeks. If it's week one, so be it. Get that out of the way as early as possible.
It's a weird place for me to live right now with this conversation because everything you're saying is valid. And honestly, the best point I think you make, Jake, is no, you don't. You know, he might still struggle behind this offensive line just purely standing in the pocket, but hey, we saw what Kevin Stefanski did with Baker Mayfield early on in his tenure here. You can move the pocket. You can roll him out. Those are things that are kind of staples of Kevin Stefanski's offense anyway. So maybe he wants to do more of that. And so, sure, put Dylan Gabriel out there for those reasons. I get it. So it's not that I think that these aren't valid things that should be talked about. And it's not that I think there's a perfect situation. To be clear, I don't think Pittsburgh is a perfect situation the week after.
No.
But I also can recognize, like, I just think this week it is such an extenuating circumstance surrounding this game specifically that it would be doing a disservice to somebody like Dylan Gabriel as a rookie that you're putting him out there, which is why I think it's coming. I think the decision is coming. I just don't think it's going to be this week. But again, I subscribe to everything you're saying. We have a bunch of people lined up on the phones. We're going to get to your calls, I promise you. If any of you call in with any of the argument that Jake just made, I agree with you. I just don't think, if the Browns are being honest about, we are prioritizing their development, we want to set them up for success, all those things, I don't know if flying your team halfway across the globe with new, different body clock, different practice schedule, all that, after he's trying to adjust to an NFL schedule as is, and he's been going nonstop, by the way, since the combine back in January and February, training for all that, is the best time to throw him out there. It's an extenuating circumstance around this game specifically that gives me pause to think he's actually going to make the change.
I feel like I could make the pushback. I don't think Joe's ever played in London heavy. Like, I don't think he's ever played a London game.
That takes some deep research here, Jake, so yeah. I'm going to have to figure that out for you. I don't know.
But like,
I don't know. They've been doing London games for a while, but I don't. I mean, I guess maybe at some point when he was with the Ravens that happened. I doubt since he's been with, like, the Jets and the Broncos and all that it's happened, but I don't know.
But, like, same thing. Like, okay, now you have a 40-year-old quarterback who's done things the same way his entire career, and now you're throwing a wrench into the fact that he has to travel across the East, change his body clock, everything else, right?
That's maybe the golden question. Is it harder for a 40-year-old to adjust his body clock or a, what is Dylan Gabriel, 25-year-old to adjust his body clock? 216-474-0092. We'll answer that question. And also, was yesterday the last straw for Joe Flacco in your mind leading into the discussion on whether or not Kevin Stefanski is going to make a quarterback change? We'll get to those things, get to your calls as well in about 5 minutes here in The Fan. He said, I knew what I signed up for when I came here. It was a quarterback competition. It was an open competition for the job. Like, he knows week to week, things could change. He knows if he doesn't play well, the Browns could absolutely pull the plug. I think he's aware of that. I also don't know if it happens this week. But everyone's saying it's going to happen this week, so maybe I'm going to be in the wrong. Maybe on Wednesday, I don't know. Are you hosting? Are you filling in on this show on Wednesday? Or are you on your show Wednesday?
I'll be on my show Wednesday.
Okay, so on Wednesday, if you end up being right, you can pull the audio from this show and you can gloat all night about how you were right and I was wrong and I'm an idiot. Then that's fine. That's fine. I just think I'm just trying to think about this from a logical way. And as bad as yesterday was yet again for Joe Flacco, I think there's a lot of problems with this offense. And I think throwing Dylan Gabriel out there, given the extenuating circumstance of going across the ocean to London, doesn't make a lot of sense. So to answer the question of, like, was yesterday the last draw for Joe Flacco, I think it for a lot of fans, I think it was. I think he's going to get one more shot here. And if it wasn't yesterday, then I think this week probably is the last draw. And that's why I said, initially, I think when the season started, we all kind of envisioned first six games is going to be Joe Flacco. That's now out the window for me. Like, and that, again, that's even for this week. Like, it could happen this week, but I beyond this week, if this game wasn't being played in London, I'd probably be right there with you and say, yeah, make a change, fine. I just think that's the one thing holding me back from doing that. Even though, to your point, I know there's no perfect circumstance. I get that.
Yeah, but like, again, I just sit here. Like, if we ask the question, is it my last draw? One, my last draw was like 2 weeks ago. Two, we are far past my last draw.
You have a quick trigger there, Jake.
Like, well, I evaluated as why Joe is playing the game, why he is actually playing the game for the Cleveland Browns is to win football games. Joe does nothing to help you win games right now. Like, there is nothing that he's doing so well that I'm like, Joe gives you a real chance, a real fight in this game. Like, I'm walking into London right now. If Joe's the starting quarterback, if this ends up being like following the Ravens game and they name Joe the starter, I'm in the exact same spot. I'm walking into this game going, there's zero chance Joe Flacco is going to win me this game. If they're going to win, they have to win in spite of Joe. And it's not all his fault. Like, there's plenty of things wrong with this offense. But again, there's a lot of things wrong with a lot of offenses. There's no perfect offense in the NFL. Like, everywhere you look around, you go, you know, people aren't playing well. And I get it. The Browns are playing bad at just about every spot you could ask. But, okay, like, then I need my quarterback to step up and be the difference maker. And right now I know that's not Joe. I know that, you know, when you go to London, it's going to be the defense that has to show up. The Browns aren't going to score 20 points unless, you know, the defense scores 14 of them. That's my only chance.
Can I just say, too, I think I've realized, and this isn't just by watching the Browns.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
This league is like, it's crazy how many teams are just completely out of the mix because their offensive line, is, like, the offensive line play in this league is just bad. Like, there's just not a lot of good offensive line play. Like, if like the Eagles are like they have hit the lottery. Their offensive line is phenomenal. And there's probably a few other teams that I'm forgetting off the top of my head that have like strong offensive line play. But it's wild that a team like the Browns just doesn't have a good offensive line right now, like across the board. But there's other teams that they lose one guy and their season just goes up in smoke because it's crazy how there's just not a lot of depth at those positions right now. I don't know if they have to like find a program to get guys trained for the NFL or what, or if like everyone just needs to go to like Iowa and Alabama where good offensive linemen come out from or something. But man, like these first couple weeks have just shown me how bad offensive line play is.
Listen, I'm ready for the program, right? I shed off a little bit of fat, put on a little bit of muscle.
Dom Clare was a lineman. He played at Ball Wallace. Yeah. He can bulk back up a little bit and get himself ready, you know.
I played 1 year of football in middle school. I started at right guard. I got some experience under the belt. I mean,
at this rate, they might be having open tryouts because they had to make the trade for Cam Robinson today. Let's go to the phones. Jason in Berea, he's right down the street from where Kevin Stefanski is contemplating making a quarterback change. Jason, what's up?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. A couple of different points. You were saying about you're not sure how Joe Flacco would be able to take the time change and flying over the ocean and all that. Well, Aaron Rodgers is even older, and he looked fine yesterday. So I think that might not be an issue.
And he ruptured his Achilles 2 years ago.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I don't know what that has to do with yesterday, but, you know. Yeah,
his Achilles, I mean, might have still been back because, in the U.S. right now.
I mean, he did leave it on the field in MetLife, so maybe.
Yeah, maybe. Well, you know, here's another thing, though. Like, what I don't understand, you can't look for logic in Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry in anything that they've done together, really. Drafting, not being able to scout, not being able to evaluate talent, giving away three number one draft picks or, you know, first round draft picks for that monumentally ridiculous trade. You know, they gave away their future with those draft picks. And that's why the defense is so far ahead of the offense right now. And the offense isn't even, you know, beginning to really be built. They need the offensive linemen. And, you know, they could have had another key position if they didn't draft two rookie quarterbacks this last draft, which made no sense at all. And, you know, if you got these two young guys, you know, before you picked either one of them that you're going to have two first round picks next year. And it's more of a quarterback rich draft supposed to be. And you got these two guys and you have 13 games left. If it was me, I would absolutely put Gabriel out there this week because it's not a home game for anybody. So it's neutral territory. It's a crowd that, you know, doesn't really know football that well, you know, other than the people that fly there to root for each team, but probably not that many. And yeah, I think it's the perfect stage to do that. And I think that they should give Shedeur Sanders an equal opportunity as well. I think they should both get six games, and whoever plays better gets the seventh instead of six.
All right, Jason.
You got.
Yeah. Yeah. Jason, we appreciate the call. That was my stance from the beginning of the season. It was like, I'd rather see these rookies anyway. We know on the outside what the season is. Internally, they're going to tell themselves it's something different. You know, I would have preferred to see Dillon Gabriel to start the year because then you can get a better sense. The more games you get of both these guys, the better sense you can get of how good or bad they are. I do think, I don't know, now that I think about it, the change is probably coming sooner rather than later. I did it like before the season started. There was a world where I was like, if you come out of the first six games and Flacco's like 2-4, 3-3 somehow, which honestly they could be set up for that if they had beaten the Bengals. Are they really going to bench him? Like there was almost a world where it would have been, maybe you don't see Dillon Gabriel till after the bye week. And then at that point I was like, I don't even know if Shedeur plays at that point. Now maybe he get a game at the end, but I do think by the end of the season, you'll see probably both these guys play in some capacity because even if Gabriel plays well, they might get to the end of the season, things are out of reach and just be like, hey Dillon, like we really like what we have in you, but we want to see what Shedeur can do for a game. Let's put him out there and not risk any injury.
Yeah, I mean, I think you probably see Dillon at some point. I like the fun part of this, too, is the draft. And, like, everyone can kind of, you know, tip their cap to Berry for this year. At least it looks like it's going to be that way early on. And then we're also very quick to be like, Dillon Gabriel's not going to be great, right? I mean, listen, I don't think he's going to be. Like, I'm not banking on Dillon Gabriel being my franchise quarterback. He did also, you know, absolutely nail, like, five picks in this draft outside of quarterback right off the rip. Like, as much as it is crazy to say, like, it's not that wild to think he also nailed the 6-1. Even if it is backup quarterback Dylan Gabriel, looking a lot better than Joe. Like, I wouldn't want Joe to be my backup right now if I'm a team in the NFL. I'm going to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, Joe's been bad. We know. And Dylan isn't. I think there's reason to hold out hope that both Dylan and Shador could maybe be something. And that's kind of the whole point of that's the NFL life cycle. Everything is built around you draft a quarterback, you get excited about the possibility. I mean, we did this with DTR. And DTR, we probably all knew wasn't going to be very good, but we all talked ourselves into it when he was out there in the preseason balling. William in North Olmsted, what's up?
Hi, yes. I just don't understand why at this point our fans haven't protested against Kevin or AB to get them removed, because obviously they're not doing their jobs. And we've been dealing with this for such a long time now is, you know, I'm surprised our fans haven't gotten to that point.
I mean, I would make the argument our fans have been there for 2 or 3 years. I constantly hear that conversation.
Yeah, appreciate the call,
Will. I mean, that's everywhere. And like, to the point, like, not to say this team's going to be good. I don't think anybody expected this team to be good. I can't make an argument that Andrew Berry, again, you take, I think by renewing, you know, making sure he's here this year, if you're Jimmy Haslam, if you go from the end of last year to this year, it's hard to argue Andrew Berry hasn't done his job.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's, last year, there was a lot of talk about Berry being on a hotter seat than Stefanski, and I think this year that could sort of flip itself. Not that I think they're ultimately tied to each other, which is, they're probably both safe. We'll talk to Daryl about that coming up at 3:20. I'm sure. But I don't think either gets fired, but there's a world where, at least from the fan base standpoint, Berry saves his job because his draft class has been so good. And Stefanski, you get to the end of the season, you're like, this offense still is not very good. And what's kind of going on? And has he run his course? And all those different questions kind of arise. We'll squeeze in one more here before the break. Nelson and Avon Lake. What's up, Nelson?
What's up, boys? Hey, I keep it quick. I always thought, and Spence, you and I talked about this before the season started, that this was going to be a fact-finding type of season, right? Mm. When you drafted Dylan in the third round, but nobody thought in the NFL he should go that high, and then you backed it up with drafting Shador Sanders in the fifth round when no one else in the NFL thought that he was worthy of being drafted, you put yourself in this position. And I mean, I guess we can argue, we can do the picket argument, you know, until we blew in the face. But why, if the object of the season was trying to win while developing, which in my opinion is next to impossible in the NFL, then why was Pickett traded? I don't get it. I don't get it. Not for the pick that they got, and now you're stuck with Joe. And I feel awful for Joe because it is clear that that Father Time has come calling.
Yeah.
Joe's time has passed. And at this point, I don't know that Dylan will give us will be better than Joe or give us a chance to win games, but we need to find out.
Yeah. That's well said, Nelson. Hey, I apologize, man. We're up against it. I think Pickett was traded because the value of getting the draft pick back was just too good for Andrew Berry to pass up, frankly. Well, and They didn't really get the chance to see him potentially be here on the starting job because of the injury. It was just a very unfortunate circumstance for those who were in the Kenny Pickett camp. I wasn't, but I do think they did probably want him to be the starter when the season began.
Yeah, I agree. Also, I hate the fact-finding comment, by the way. Like, if that was the start of the year, you're at a point right now where the defense is playing, where if you got competent offense play, this team could be winning football games.
Well, and that's what I thought it was going to be, even with Flacco. Is the expectation that the Guardians should beat the Tigers, or are you a little bit nervous that they've had too much good luck against the Tigers of late, that it's going to come back around? We'll talk about that coming up. We got Daryl Ryder at 3:20. We'll pick his brain on both Browns and Guardians, so he's not completely mad at us the entire conversation. He can talk about something happy. All that and more coming up here in the 3 o'clock hour on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
friends, it's Ken Carmen and Anthony Lima. Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show. Your way and on your time.